to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord give you children by this woman, and take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord." Then they would go home. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and men. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This morning's gospel comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52, and can be found on page 1029 of the Church Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please do be seated. Well, as Fiona said at the start, just 5 days ago, we were celebrating Jesus' birth. And now, in the blink of an eye, he's 12 years old. This is the only account in any of the Gospels of a story that relates to Jesus' childhood. Matthew jumps straight from the family's return from their flight to Egypt to Jesus' baptism as an adult. Mark omits any mention of his childhood or birth at all, as does John, who's more concerned about the adult Jesus and what his actions reveal about who he is. But here we have this story from Luke of a time when Jesus, aged 12, is taken by his parents to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. It was part of the Jewish law that all men were to go to the temple at least 3 times a year. Exodus 23 says they're to make the journey for the feasts of Tabernacles, Pentecost, and Passover. But as this was often difficult because of the distances involved, it had become tradition for Jewish men to go to the temple at least once a year on one of these feasts. And there was no concept in Jesus' day of being a teenager. You were either a child or an adult, with a transition happening for boys at the age of 13. As an adult, Jesus would be responsible for obeying Jewish law. And so in the years leading up to this, his father was obliged to take him to the temple and to ensure that he knew the Torah, the first 5 books of the Old Testament. And so we read here that Joseph took his family down to Jerusalem every year to fulfill his duty. And it was on one of these journeys that they left Jesus behind. So Mary and Joseph have lost Jesus. Some, on reading this account, might find them totally irresponsible and neglectful of their parental duties. I mean, after all, in today's culture, can you imagine travelling for a whole day and not knowing you'd left your child behind? But before you condemn them, you need to bear in mind that in ancient times, people travelled in large groups. It was much safer to travel with a lot of other people, and the time went faster. And it was customary for the women and the children to set off first, and then the men might leave a couple of hours later and catch them up for the first night's camp. And you can imagine that because Jesus was almost a man, Mary thought he was with his father, Joseph thought the opposite, and it was only at the end of the day when they came together that they realized Jesus was missing. I wonder if any of you have ever lost a child. Yeah, it happened to us once when Katie was just 4 years old, and my goodness, that was 20 years ago. We'd gone to Legoland Windsor, the four of us, and another family and their five children. And we'd had an absolutely lovely day there. And it was just as the park was closing, we were walking up towards the exit where the gift shops were. And as I recall, we were walking with hundreds of other people up a long sloping path. Halfway up, someone was doing a puppet show, so we all stopped to watch it. It wasn't until it had finished that I realised Katie wasn't with us. When we stopped, she just carried on. Complete and utter panic just immediately filled my heart. Whilst David and my friend's wife Jan looked after the other children, Phil and I ran on ahead looking for her. I honestly can't remember if I was calling her name out. What I do remember is just running about like a headless chicken, just trying to find this tiny little blonde girl in the crowds that were up there. And it wasn't long, but it felt like an eternity before Phil came and found me and said that Katie had been found. I'd always told my children that if they became lost, they were to look for someone in uniform and tell them they'd lost their mummy. Katie, bless her, when she realised she didn't know where we were, had done exactly that. She'd gone to a member of staff who was looking after her, and they'd taken her to the gift shop and allowed her to choose something as a free gift of her choosing. So she was quite happy, thank you. But I was just in bits. I had panicked, whereas my four-year-old daughter had kept her cool and done exactly what I told her to. And as I said, all that happened 20 years ago. Katie's now grown up. She's an adult in her own right. And Jesus, in this account, is also approaching adulthood. Because this story is one of transition. It tells of Jesus' growing awareness of his identity as his father's son and his reprioritizing of where his loyalties lie. Mary and Joseph are no longer the center of his world. When he was a child, they had raised him, clothed him, fed him, and taught him. But this episode signals that their relationship is to change. In the same way, my relationship with my daughter has changed and adapted as she has grown up. And I haven't got a thought for today so much as a question I'd like us to consider. Because as we look in this story in more detail, what I'd like us to think about is who is really lost here? Is it Jesus or is it his parents? So after a full day's travel, Mary and Joseph realize Jesus isn't with them. They had searched for 3 days, looking with great deal of anxiety and distress. And you can just imagine, can't you, on that path back to Jerusalem, just searching everywhere that they passed. Every rock must have been overturned, doors were knocked on, people in the marketplace approached. Have you seen a lost boy? My son's missing, he's only 12. I'm sure with each passing hour, the angst of Mary and Joseph increased. I bet they got no sleep at night. With each failed attempt at finding Jesus, their anxiety was heightened. Where can he be? Are we not searching hard enough? Are we looking in the right places? And that's another question for us to think about. When we can't find Jesus, when he seems to be absent or missing from our lives, do we look for him in the right places? Mary and Joseph spent 3 days looking in the wrong places, and we can spend years doing the same. Considering the more trivial aspect of this to start with, I'm always so surprised by people who claim to have found the image of Jesus in everyday objects. His face has been seen in the creases of a drying sock, a grilled cheese sandwich, the dirt on the back of a van, and a grease spot on the garage floor. It begs the question as to why, if Jesus wanted to reveal himself to people today, he would choose to do so through a drying sock. The owner of said sock wanted to open a shrine to it, but was just disappointed to know that in a couple of days' time, the creases had fallen out and the face had disappeared. But more seriously, we all experience times in our lives when we can't find Jesus. I know I have. Times when it feels like he's gone away from us, he's turned away and is silent. Times when we experience pain and suffering. Where do we turn to in those moments? Where do we look for him? In what do we put our trust? Do we try to numb our pain with alcohol or drugs? Do we try and make ourselves feel better by acquiring things and possessions? Do we rely on the wisdom pronounced by the latest self-help group book? Or do we turn to God in prayer? John Ortberg, in his book God is Closer Than You Think, writes this: when we are passionately honest with God, when we complain, knowing in the hope that God can still be trusted, then we are asking God to create the kind of condition in our heart that will make resting in his presence possible again. And God will come, but he may come in unexpected ways. People look for Jesus in all sorts of areas: emotional experiences, social reform, self-help theologies. But he's seldom found there, because that's not where he hangs out. If we want to find Jesus, we have to look in the right places. And Mary and Joseph eventually located Jesus in the temple. And when they found him, their emotional frustration was evident. "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." I mean, that's the understatement of the year. But isn't it interesting that they're blaming Jesus for leaving them, for not staying with them, when in reality it is they who left him behind? And so often the same is true in our lives. When things go wrong, we are so quick to blame Jesus for leaving us. But in reality, he never puts a distance between us in our relationship. It's always us, our sin and our wanderings, which cause the damage. And then we have the first words spoken by Jesus in the Gospels. "Why are you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Jesus is telling Mary that she should have known where he was. They'd spent 3 days looking in the wrong places. It's as if he's saying, just think back to my birth. The angel told you I would be the Son of God. Remember that night in Bethlehem, the shepherds, the angels. Remember the 3 wise men bringing their gifts, their adoration. Remember Joseph's dreams, our flight to Egypt and return. Where else could I be but here? Jesus has put the Father at the center of his world, and he's asking us to do the same. You see, Jesus wasn't lost. He knew where he was and who he was and where he needed to be. Jesus was born of Mary, but he is his Father's son. And this is not a rejection of his earthly parents, but a reprioritizing of relationships. The passage makes clear that he continued to honor his earthly parents. He went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But something significant has shifted. His priorities have changed. Jesus' primary concern is not the will of his parents, but the will of God and the mission that entails. You know, maybe things had been so ordinary for so long that the mystery surrounding their son's birth had just begun to fade from their minds. Or maybe Mary and Joseph were aware of what their son would be and become, but figured it was years away. Perhaps Jesus hadn't indicated any particularly theological interest at that time, so his parents couldn't imagine him hanging about in the temple. But maybe Mary and Joseph just failed to see that their baby was growing up. Jesus, in this passage, grows up and is challenging Mary and Joseph to do the same. And children have a way of doing that to their parents, don't they? They challenge us. They look at our world, our lives, and ourselves in a different and sometimes painful way. Katie is certainly not shy of challenging us and sharing her opinions, usually very vocally, when it comes to issues such as the implications of the Brexit decision for people of her generation, or the effect that tuition fees and the exorbitant interest rates are having on her life. And she teaches me new things all the time, particularly when it comes to my iPad and my phone. She absolutely despairs of me sometimes. But just coming into land now and revisiting that question we started with, who is really lost here? Because this story has often been portrayed to me as one in which Jesus gets lost. Jesus doesn't stay with and follow his parents when they leave, and he gets lost. But as we've seen, he knew who he was and where he needed to be. The problem is that Jesus and his parents have two different understandings of who his father is. His priorities have changed. He's grown up. And when they find him after 3 days, he is not where they expect him to be. They didn't find him in the expected places, in the safe confines of his extended family or the familiar company of the crowd. After 3 days, Mary and Joseph found Jesus alive and well in the temple at Jerusalem among the teachers of the law, the very company where it will all end when Jesus is tried, convicted, and handed over to be killed. And of course, once again, it's 3 days after that that he is found again, and not where he's expected to be, dead in the tomb, but alive in the garden. And my last question this morning would be this one. Have you lost Jesus? As this year draws to a close and the new one stretches out before us, are you too running about looking for him? Like Mary and Joseph, when we sense the lack of his presence, we must be prepared to hunt for him, to search for him, but to look in the right places, in prayer, in the Bible, and in the sacraments. And we must not give up, but must continue our search until we find him. Mary and Joseph find Jesus alive and well in a place they didn't expect. And much later, Jesus, dead and buried, is raised on the third day, and there is a new temple, his resurrected body. And when we put our trust in him, we are no longer lost. Our searching comes to an end in new life, meaningful life, the life that God intends for us. And just as Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, so too we can grow in faith as we respond to God's love for us. Thank you.